Good morning. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence here with us. And thank you for your word. And I pray that you would speak to us this morning and help us to just pray and get into the presence of God today. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Hebrews 11 is a very famous chapter on faith. And if you read through the book of Hebrews, I think the writer of Hebrews is talking kind of about one specific type of faith, referring to the faith in the unseen hope of heaven. You know, all the men of old, they had this faith that God was had given them a promise of something that they couldn't see. So it was a faith in the unseen hope of heaven. But I think this definition of faith, which is a famous one, right? I think it works for all types of faith. And today I just wanted to talk a little bit about kind of living out of our faith instead of just kind of having a faith, just it being an intellectual exercise. So there's a good illustration of faith. It's faith, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. So if I had something in my pocket, let me see. If I have something in my left hand and I go to, say, Ayong, for example, and I ask her, hey, do you have faith, or do you believe that in my left hand I'm holding onto a $1 coin? What would you say? Yes, she has faith. She believes that I'm holding onto a $1 coin in my left hand. But you know what would completely break her faith? What would completely destroy her faith is that actually if I opened up my hand and showed her that I was holding onto a $1 coin. Because as soon as she can see the coin that I'm holding onto in my left hand, that is no longer faith. Because the definition of faith here is the conviction of things not seen, or confidence and assurance in the things not seen. So by definition, to have faith in something, it is faith in something that is unseen, yet we put our confidence in it. We have assurance, but we don't have a 100% proof. Because it's not faith if we can see it. So when it comes to, well, by this, it says in the Bible, it says, by this, by faith, the men of old gained approval. And I know that we all want to gain God's approval. That's a no-brainer. I mean, all of us sitting here, we're here this morning, and we want to be men and women that gain God's approval. And how do we gain God's approval? It's by operating out of faith, out of what we cannot see with our natural eyes, but what we believe in our hearts about God, right? Because it says, by faith, the men of old gained approval. And so if we want to gain approval, we need to start living out of faith in the things that is unseen, not just by what we can see with our natural eyes. I was convicted the other day, at our early morning prayer meeting, P. Sam was talking about the verse in 2 Timothy, I believe, where it says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment or self-discipline. And I discovered, or as I was listening to the message, I really just kind of realized that I'm operating so often out of timidity. And, you know, P. Sam said, as soon as, like, a fearful thought comes into his mind, he like cuts it off right there. And I just realized it was regarding encouragement. I had a friend who was going through a tough time, and really he needed some encouragement. He needed a word of faith, you know, to say, you know, it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of you. God's going to bring salvation to this person, and he's going to heal this person. But I was so afraid to make this encouragement because I was like, what if God doesn't? You know, what if God doesn't come through for this guy? And I just realized, man, I'm operating out of fear and not out of faith. And I was convicted, you know, that I'm not really living out of what I cannot see but what I believe, but I'm operating out of what I can see with my natural eyes. So if I feel like, yeah, I think this person could get healed, like, yeah, God's gonna heal him, don't worry about it, you know, but if I'm unsure, if he's going through a really tough time, I just kind of say, oh, God loves you. I don't know what I say, but it's kind of a weak encouragement, you know, it's just like, you'll be okay, you know, but it wasn't really out of conviction, out of faith that, yeah, God's gonna do it because he's a good God. So, well, I want to encourage us with this question: are we operating out of faith, or do we stick to what we know? Are we operating out of faith in the unseen, or do we stick to things that we are comfortable in our natural eyes? You know, the EG class, many of us have already done it. Many of us will start doing the EG class. It challenges us. It says, if we only do what we can do in our own strength, we will never experience God, right? We need to give God an opportunity to show us his power and to show us who he is by stepping out in faith and trying to do things that we cannot do in our own strength. And another famous pastor, Bill Johnson, he says, he has this quote, he says, we owe the world an encounter with God. We are Christians who have been called to be in a relationship with God, and we owe the world an encounter with him. But we cannot have the world encounter God if we are only going to be just, you know, nice Christians that kind of do things that we can do in our own strength. So we need to start living by faith and start operating out of things that we cannot see, but really trying to do things that we believe in our hearts. It is unseen. It is not clear. It is not 100% guarantee, but we step out in faith anyway. So I have three points about faith that I want to briefly kind of go through, and I'll call them the three P's of faith because they're all P's. So number one, faith in God's pardon. Faith in God's pardon. If you could turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8 to 18. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, this is Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law upon their hearts, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. So, and there's other verses like 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Faith in God's pardon. This is an important aspect of our faith, and we have to, I think we know this, we have been forgiven of our sin, and we have been accepted into God's kingdom just as we are. We are God's children, and we are a new creation. That is the unseen reality. The unseen reality is that we have been forgiven, that we have been accepted just as we are, that we are God's children. However, what is seen with our natural eyes is that we fail all the time. We have our shortcomings, we make our mistakes, and we often fall short of what God desires of us. And what happens often, if we operate out of what we see, that would be something like striving. So the unseen reality is God's forgiveness. The seen reality is we make mistakes all the time. We succumb to temptation all the time. And so if we operate out of what we see, what happens is we start striving. Not the good kind of striving that Paul talks about in his writings, but the bad kind of striving, the striving out of fear, the striving and the trying harder to be good enough. And so when we sin, we feel like, oh man, I have to do something to make up for it. And, you know, we try harder and we see our shortcomings. We try to fix it by our own strength, by our own wisdom, and by our own willpower. But what that leads us to is a performance-based religion, and it really just leads us to pride. The more we strive to do things in our own power, and the more we try harder to be good enough, even if we end up being good enough, it's just going to lead us to pride. And this gives the enemy power. Because when the enemy comes to us, right, when we sin, the enemy comes to us and he accuses us. He says, you are no good. You know, he will say, you're a sinner. When he accuses of us, he accuses us of our shortcomings. Our natural reaction is to defend ourselves. You know, he says, oh, you're such a bad person. Then you say, no, but I'm good at this. You know, I did this thing well, and I'm doing this thing well, and at least I'm better than that guy. At least I'm better than this person. And we compare ourselves, and there's a prideful thing that happens, and it gives enemy power if we try to operate in what we see, and we try to be better. We strive to become a better person. But what breaks the power of the enemy, what breaks the power of the enemy when he comes and accuses of our sin is actually we agree with him. So when the enemy comes and says, you're a bad parent, you're a bad pastor, you're a bad leader, you're a bad house church leader, our natural reaction is to say, no, but see, we try to like count the things that we're good at, and we try to say, well, at least we're better than this guy. But it actually gives him more power. What breaks that power is when he accuses us, we say, yes, that is true. But I am forgiven, I'm accepted, and I'm loved by God just as I am. Because then what can the enemy say to that? If he says to me, you're a bad pastor, and I say, oh, that's true. I am not good. I have nothing in me. I'm really not a very powerful whatever, but God has forgiven me of my shortcomings, and he loves me just as I am, and he accepts me just as I am. Then the power that the enemy has to accuse us is broken because we are set free. So operating out of what we see is striving. Operating out of what we don't see, out of our faith in God's pardon, is surrendering. We surrender to the forgiveness of God. We surrender to the love of God. We surrender our weaknesses, we surrender our shortcomings, and that's going to set us free, and it's going to lead us to humility, but it's also going to lead us to incredible strength, because we're no longer relying on our own strength, we're relying on the strength of God. So that's the first one, faith in God's pardon. We want to be people that operate out of faith in God's pardon. The second one, faith in God's power. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1:3 says, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It says he upholds all things by the word of his power. Another version will say he sustains all things by the word of his power. This talks about the power of Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. Matthew 8:27 says, the men were amazed and they said, what kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? We have to remember that God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent, especially in sharing the gospel in our workplace and talking about Jesus Christ, praying for people, encouraging people. Why are we so timid? Why are we so afraid to take steps of faith? I find I go to a physio regularly because of my shoulder problems, and his name is Chris, and I want to share the gospel with him. I want to speak Christ with him, and I've done it a few times, but he's not very responsive. He kind of grew up in a Christian school, but he doesn't have any faith. And every time I go, I want to be like, bam, I want to do something crazy just to like show him the who God is. But I find I'm often quite timid. I'm like, oh, what if nothing happens, you know? And it's, I'm really not, I know, I believe that God is omnipotent, that he is the creator of all things. And he could, you know, with the snap of his fingers, he could change Chris's heart, right? But the way I actually live out my life is there's a disconnect, you know? And why are we so timid when it comes to living out of faith in the power of God? I think P. Sam says this a lot. I think it's a quote from somebody. He does not fear who knows that his God is omnipotent. Something like that. Is that right? He does not fear who knows that God, his God is omnipotent. I think of the North Korean missionaries that a few of us have heard about. You know, they have gone into this closed nation. There's nothing out there for them. And yet they have taken steps of faith. They have trusted in God's power to move through them. And they have actually paid the price, and they're living there. I think of the couple, the missionary couple we saw on the Father of Lights movie. You know, they gave up their comfortable job in America. They moved to China. They're working with handicapped orphans. These are people, they're really living out of faith. They're really trusting in the power of God. They're saying that, yeah, God is all-powerful. He's the creator, the sustainer of all things. And I can put my life on the line for him. And I'm not saying that we all need to be missionaries, that you all need to quit your job and go to some place to be missionaries. But I do find that there is often a disconnect between what we say we believe in God and what we actually do. You know, it's so easy to stick to just what we know, to stick to what we're capable of doing. But we have to understand that God is always going to call us into things that are beyond our comfort level, that are beyond our capabilities, right? You know, sometimes we say things like, oh, God will never call you to do something that you are, that you cannot handle. You know, God won't give you more than you can handle. But that's not true. God will always call us into things that's more than what we can handle, because God wants to, you know, be God. God wants to show that he is God. And he wants us to start moving beyond our own abilities, beyond what we're comfortable with, so that we can start seeing the power of God in action. So that's the faith in God's power. When we have faith in God's power and we operate out of that, we're going to try and attempt to do things that are beyond what we can do in our own strength. And the last one I want to talk about, the last P, is faith in God's presence. Go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? This is faith in God's presence. God says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Faith in God's presence gives us a different type of boldness. Faith in God's power gives us a boldness to try and attempt to do things and trust in God's power. And, you know, it allows us to move beyond what we're capable of. But faith in God's presence is a different kind of boldness that comes. It's a different kind of assurance and a confidence that God is with us, Not just that God is capable of doing it, but that he is with us. He is for us. He is behind us. He is backing us up. And we need to have both. We need to have faith in God's power, but we also need to have faith in God's presence, that he's going to be with us. When I go to Chris today and I attempt to go beyond what I'm capable of to kind of share the gospel with him, I need to not only believe that God has power to do something, but that God's presence is with me and that he is going to, he is going to use me. He is going to be with me when I share that. I found that especially when I was in Cambodia this summer, and we had to do a lot of things to step out in faith. There was one time, one brother from our team was supposed to share like a 1-hour teaching. And he got up on the stage and he shared about 20 minutes and he said, "I'm done." So I was like, "What?" You know, I could see that his talk was coming to a close because I knew his outline. And I was like, "Oh man, what do I do?" And I could have easily just said, "Okay, let's just close, break early." But I felt like God was saying, "I know you don't have anything prepared, but go up there and lead these people in something. Share something and lead something." And the biggest thing that gives me strength, that gave me strength, that gave me confidence, that gave me assurance to do this is God's presence is with me. Father is with me. Father's presence is with me, so I can go up. I can do things. Whenever I have to step out in faith and do something, I always go back to, in my own place with God, I always go back to the truth that God's presence is with me. He will never desert me. He will never forsake me. And God's presence is with you wherever you go. And not only his presence, his power. You know, the Israelites, when they were supposed to go into the promised land, that was their problem. Because they had seen the power of God. They come out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they see the 10 plagues that God does amongst the people of Egypt. Not only that, God, parts the waters, right? The Red Sea, so that they can walk on dry land. So when it comes time for them to enter into the promised land where the people are giants and it's like a difficult time, it wasn't that they didn't have faith in God's power. They had faith in God's power because they saw it all. I mean, they saw the wonders of God. Their problem was they didn't have faith in God's presence with them because they were in slavery 400 years, kind of not knowing who they are, wondering about God's presence and crying out to God but not seeing any breakthrough. So when it came time for them to actually step out in faith, they saw the power of God, but they didn't know that God's power was going to be present for them. And it stopped them from entering into the promised land. So we need to have faith in God's power, but we also need to have faith in God's presence, that he's with us, and then we're going to be able to truly, have boldness and confidence and step out in faith. So just in conclusion, our faith, it should be lived out in our daily living. Our faith is not just an intellectual exercise. It is not just some philosophical argument, that we have in our minds, but it needs to be something that actually affects the way we live our lives. I was so convicted reading this chapter. All these men of faith, it wasn't just that they had faith. They just kind of knew that, God was for them or God was going to lead them. All the times when they heard from God and they had faith in God to do something, they acted in something. There was an action, there was a response to their faith in God. And it says, the men of old gained approval by living out of their faith in God. And my prayer for us is that we would also be people that live out of our faith. That we won't just kind of say we believe in these things, but that we would, that it will affect us, that it'll challenge us, it'll encourage us to live out of what we believe, out of the unseen about God. So let's close our eyes, and Yvain's going to come up and lead us in a song of worship. Let's just go before the Lord. Think about the 3 points, faith in God's pardon. Some of us, maybe we might need to just hear that, faith in God's pardon. That you don't have to, even if you feel like you're not living out of faith, you don't have to, after this message, just strive and try harder to be this bold man and woman of faith. You just come to the Lord in surrender. Because he has forgiven us of our shortcomings. Don't give the enemy power by just trying to do it in your own strength. but defeat him by surrendering, by admitting to your weaknesses, and by truly repenting. Repentance is so much easier if you believe in the forgiveness of God. If you try to do it on your own strength, it's hard to repent, because then it's over. You know, if you think that salvation is based on what you do, then huge consequences for failing to live up to His standard. But if you believe that you're saved by His grace, then you can come before the Lord in repentance. And if it's the power or presence that you're struggling with, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to kind of move in our hearts and encourage us.
In my heart that speaks to me until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home. I'll trust in you. Let's proclaim, I will live, I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in all of you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in all of you. One last time. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in all of you.
Let's go before the Lord and let's just pray for ourselves and pray for our church, that we would be people that live out of our faith, that operate out of faith, that operate out of what we cannot see, that operate out of things that are not 100% certain, but we believe in our hearts and it's the truth of God's word. So let's pray for ourselves. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those that are struggling or with sickness, cancer, and going through chemo and looking for a transplant. Let's pray for God's power for healing, and let's lift them up. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that need healing, but also they need salvation. They need God to reveal Himself to them. So let's pray that God will do something amazing in their hearts, and let's pray for God's healing for them as well. Let's go to the third slide. Just various illnesses and infirmities that our people are struggling with. Let's pray for God's healing and breakthrough for them. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job in this time. Let's pray for God's breakthrough, and let's pray that they'll be able to use their time wisely in this season. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's go to our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for the local ministries. Pray for the local churches here in Hong Kong. Pray for YWAM and for their various ministries, Sports Services International, Shanti Ministry, Masters Beauty, the Red Light District Outreach. Pray for Face to Face with Jimmy. Pray for Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. So let's pray for the local ministries in Hong Kong and the local churches. Let's pray for the different SP ministries. Pray for the worship team, the AV team, welcoming and hospitality team, and the barista ministry. Let's pray for these different ministries that will serve out of a good heart, good attitude, and with a real desire to serve God and serve the people, and that it will be effective, that there will be the anointing of God upon each team. So let's pray for these ministries. Let's pray for our house church meeting tonight, McCain. This is the last gathering. Let's pray for a really good time of celebration and thanksgiving and sharing and loving one another, a good time of ministry. So let's lift up McCain House Church. Father God, thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your presence, and thank you for your word. I pray as we spend some time in prayer and in your scripture that you will speak to us and help us to pray what is on your heart today. And I pray that many of us will have deep times of intimacy with you, God, this morning. And I pray your blessing over each and every person as they go to their own workplace or their home. I pray that just your presence will be very near to them, and that they will have your confidence and your comfort, your encouragement, your strength throughout the day. Help us to bring joy to your heart today in some way. And we love you. Help us to live out of our faith in you, God. Thank you, Father. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.